This afternoon, our sermon topic is blessings with words of grace. So why don't we practice that before we sit? Nah? The person in front of you, behind you, on your left, on your right, you turn and say, "It is lovely to see you this evening. You look lovely this evening," okay? Words of grace. You look handsome today. God, yes. Okay, you may be seated. Thank you very much. You know, I've discovered that whenever I say something gracious and nice to someone, two things happen. Number one, I feel good, you know. And also, the other person who hears what I say also feels good. On the other hand, when I say something nasty, you know, maybe I had a bad day, I feel lousy about myself. And I am very sure the person who gets my lousy words also will feel lousy. The scripture here tells us in James, the epistle reading, about two things about the tongue. The first thing is that the tongue, although very, very small compared to the rest of the part of your body, is very powerful. So the analogy that James gives is a bridle that they put in the horse's mouth. Compared to the strength of a horse, a human being can never match, okay? But with the bridle in the mouth of the horse, you can command the horse, go left, go right, you know, go faster or stop. All right, like Lone Ranger riding, okay? Okay, without the bridle, you are no match. And then also the rudder of a ship, huge, superstar Aquarius, 11 stories high. Underneath, you cannot see, turning the ship, just one small little rudder. Okay? And then I think the third analogy he gives is that just a little spark can set a whole forest on fire, and sometimes uncontrollable, okay? And sometimes I see, I feel sorry for the people living in those posh houses in Beverly Hills and all that. And, when the fire sweep, all gone, man. I hope they have insurance. You know, finished. You know. Right. Second thing about the tongue is that the tongue is actually the most uncontrollable or untamable thing on planet Earth. So the scripture says almost every kind of animal or reptile, you go to the bird park, you go to the zoo, okay? Almost every animal that you see has been able to be tamed by human beings, but not the tongue. Right? But one thing also I want to say in addition to the two that I've just mentioned is that the tongue is also a very powerful instrument that God has given us. That with the tongue we can either bless or we can curse. Right? And so there is power of life and death in the tongue. So let's see the slides. Blessings with words of grace. This is the sermon series, all right, from the book of James. And so when I was asked to minister at the 5 p.m. service, I follow. Okay, so this will be James. Okay, so as we start, I want to ask a question. Everyone that is here, okay, today is the beginning of school holidays. One whole section, either in Sentosa or in Malacca. But those of you who are here, God bless you. I want to ask you a question. What is your default mode as far as the tongue is concerned? Let me explain to you what's default mode. Recently, my wife and I, we moved house. We were living in Tampines for over 2 years. Now we are in Choa Chu Kang. All right, nearer to my son, daughter-in-law, and granddaughters. And so one of the things that we bought new with the new house is the new washing machine. So when the washing machine agents, they came, they installed the washing machine, they put it on, they told my wife, once you switch on, this is the default mode, factory setting, okay? If you want any other mode, you've got to do the setting. And I saw the default mode, to wash my normal clothes are 3 hours. The electric bill will go up, man. 3 hours, So what is your default mode? Next, is it complaining? Don't have to do much. Just switch on, need complain. Open mouth only. The next one, criticism, or next, grumbling, or cursing, or question mark lah. Maybe praising. Every time you open your mouth, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Even the car overtake you on the highway, you say, thank you, Jesus. Default mode. Reflect. Reflect. And the next slide, the acid test, according to what James, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ said in the gospel reading, the acid test of the true spiritual condition of our hearts is the kind of stuff that comes out of our mouth. And that's the acid test. Sometimes we do spiritual tests for spirituality among the leaders and all that. How much tithe you give? Do you give to mission? Do you go for mission trip? How much do you study and read the Bible every day? How many hours do you pray? All these are important. But I want to tell you, really, when it comes to spiritual tests, the acid test is what comes out of our mouth. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. So a few weeks ago, I was asked to preach in another Anglican church, near to where my church is, in Dover. And I asked this question. I said, when you squeeze a lemon, what comes out? What comes out? Lemon juice, lemon juice. If you squeeze orange, what comes out? And then I gave the third question. One small boy spoiled my illustration, almost. You know, I said, when I squeeze you, what comes out? He said, blood. He didn't quite understand my question. I think you understand, right? Under pressure, under stress, when you are tired, when a day doesn't turn out that well, and then you get squeezed, guess what comes out? Don't say, not so nice to say in church, okay? Right? Because that's what is in our hearts. So question is, who or what is really in control of our tongue? And the answer simply is the heart. The condition of the heart controls our tongue. Cursing come out, complaining come out. Singaporeans, Premier League for complaining, okay? Maybe that's where we need to pray for our fellow Singaporeans. The heart, not so good. So what or who is truly in control of our tongue? Is it the heart that is filled with God's love, filled with the Spirit of the living God, or what? And this is the question that no one really can answer for you. We can only answer for ourselves. We take personal responsibility for ourselves. Okay? And I told the 7 a.m. service, I preached the same sermon. I said, wonderful to hear all of you singing these songs, wonderful words of life. But I want to tell you that after the service, as you assemble for dinner, bak kut teh lah, or satay ayam lah, and the way you talk around the dinner table will be more indicative of your spirituality. Not how well you sing in this nave, okay? Although it's wonderful. So when I said that during the breakfast time at the 7 a.m., everybody talked very nice. No? They all dare not because I was catching them, okay? Next, I want to share with you something very interesting on the day of Pentecost. So on the day of Pentecost, you know the story went how the Holy Spirit came down upon the 120. And the result was they began to be so touched in their hearts. They were so overwhelmed with the power, the presence, the purity of the Holy Spirit that they began to speak in tongues. And what were the tongues that they were speaking in? Well, I just want to take from verse 11. Both Jews and proselytes Cretans and Arabians, we hear them, we hear these people speaking in tongues, telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So what was the immediate observable impact of the filling with the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost morning? It was new tongues. I've always wondered, how come when the Holy Spirit touched 120, the partner that was really transformed almost immediately was the tongue? Maybe because that's the most uncontrollable part of us. If God can grab hold of that partner, the rest are maybe easier. Anyway, that's my interpretation. Right? If you have your own, we can agree to disagree. Okay, it's very interesting. And they were, their tongues were filled with the praises of God. They begin to speak of the wonders of God. Right? And everyone gathered in the temple heard it. And they were amazed. In fact, some of the people who heard it says, these guys are drunk. And Peter stood up and said, with all due respect, we are not drunk. This is only 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? Too early to be drunk, okay? But this is that which the Holy, which Joel said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Friend, we have been praying and preaching and exhorting all of us on revival. I know from Bishop Rennie's all the way down, we are longing, crying out for revival. We say, God, send revival. Start that work in me. And I want to say that revival will break out now when the Holy Spirit does a work in us and through us, touching our hearts, transforming us so that we begin to speak the praises of God everywhere we go. We will be gossiping Jesus, if you like, okay? Everywhere, gossip Jesus. Cannot stop, cannot prevent, cannot control, okay? Don't put up your hands. Some of you are uncontrollable gossips. Don't put up your hand, okay? Everywhere you go, you gossip. Nothing wrong. You have a gift. All you need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be Jesus' gossiper. Praise God, man. Everywhere you go, people cannot run away from you, man. And that's wonderful. But you need to be transformed, okay? So the disciples begin moving out. This is a sign of a revival. They were moving out as witnesses of the good news, proclaiming with their mouths the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the prayer of my heart, beloved, okay, that this revival will break out in our midst. Can you imagine? With just the people that are gathered here this 5 p.m. service this evening, if every one of you are so filled with the Holy Spirit, transforming your hearts, that even your speech only praises God, talks about the glory of God, wherever you are, it will be revival. In your kampongs, in your community, in wherever you go. Because your tongues are filled with goodness. Not only words of grace to one another, but words of truth and words of the gospel to people who do not know Jesus Christ. So the question I want to ask is, are you transformed? Are you changed from the inside out? Because James says there can be only one kind of water welling out of us, either salt water or fresh water. Okay? You want pure drinking water, you go to FairPrice, and you had this big bottle, pure drinking water, and you buy. Not cheap, you know. Water, you have to pay, nearly $2. I don't know what's the price, $2 something. How many of you will pay $2.50 for salt water to bring home to drink? So there's only one kind of water that is welling out of us. And it will be terrible, right? If in one moment we praise God, hallelujah, and the next moment we curse people. One moment we say, wow, Jesus is good. Next moment we say, you lousy idiot, fool, you know.
It's like Jekyll and Hyde, right? And we need deliverance. We need God's mercy to transform us. So how does God transform us? I want to tell you simply, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given so that He might work in us to transform us, work out of us, that we might be His witnesses. So if you look at Galatians chapter 5, and that's the last scripture I promise you that I will refer to, and then we'll have a time of prayer. We will proceed with the service. And after the service, I'm hanging around because I have got a 7:30 service to go. So if you want to go lim kopi with me, you just let me know, okay? And we will sing the praises of God all the way to the Suntec Mall, okay? Never mind. People say we gila, never mind. We praise God. So Ephesians, Galatians, what am I talking about? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. If Paul carried on now, it will be a long list, okay? He says, Gautim, enough. This is not exhaustive, but I think this is enough. You know, I know what we are talking about, okay? And God knows, sometimes out of all these things in our hearts listed by Paul, we speak, okay? Poisonous, poisonous. Out of an idolatrous heart, out of a heart of immorality, out of a heart of enmity and strife and anger and division, dissension, we speak. We cause a lot of damage. And that is a person that is led by the flesh. The flesh is controlling, right, his tongue, because his heart is filled with all these things. But let's read on for the good part. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. This morning, Canon Louis Tay was with us in Westside Anglican Church, and he quoted from this scripture, and I like what he said. He says self-control is self under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's how our tongues can be transformed, when we daily, in times of prayer, in times of silence, in times of reading and meditating upon the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit moves within our heart, we say, Lord, I yield to you. Have your way with me. Transform me. And as time progresses, because these are called fruits of the Spirit, fruit don't turn up overnight, okay? I heard from one of my members in WAC whose relatives are still in Penang. They say this year, you wait 2 more weeks, the durians will come out. But this year, the fruits are more expensive because quality has dropped. Nobody wants to buy, okay? Not all because of the weather, okay? It's too hot. But they are fruits, okay? Fruit is a result of cultivation. Okay? It's over time. It takes sometimes over a few years. You plant a durian seed after 6-7 years. Whoa, every year you have durian coming out. Whoa. When I retire, I will be a durian planter. Okay. Maybe you buy my durian. Nowhere else you buy. So that's the fruit. And the choice is ours. Do we desire to allow the Holy Spirit to produce its fruit in us? And when the fruit of the Spirit is produced, kindness, love, goodness, patience, all these things become part of our inner being, our heart. And out of a heart of love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, self-control, we speak. And it will be words of grace. So at the end of it all, the conclusion of the matter is we need to cry out to God that He will help us examine our hearts, come before Him in repentance, and ask Him to do a work of grace in our hearts. Because the Holy Spirit's ministry is to work in us, to change us, so that He will work through us, that we might be a witness for Him. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You, Lord, for giving us such wonderful instructions so that in applying it, we will discover the blessed life. Blessing not just for ourselves, but the people around us will be blessed. And this afternoon, we are talking about the heart and how out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Lord, we pray that You fill our hearts with Your abundance. With the abundance of Your grace, Your love, Your wisdom, Your mercy, Your goodness. But Lord, we pray that You search our hearts this evening as we come humbly before You. In Jesus' name, can we all stand? I asked for a response song, a ministry song. It's a song that we all know, all right, very well. It's "Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart Today." As we sing that, could you put your Bibles down, your notes down, everything down, and you come before God and you lift up your hearts before Him and you say, "God, here I am. You search my heart. Begin a work in me. Search